all of you affectionately. Please tolerate my voice just like you tolerate your teenage son when his voice was breaking. So it will come most properly into a better shape as we go on. I would like to welcome all of you who were not here during the last few days. We had a very nice time together where we looked at how to make a deep connection with Krishna, not a theoretical one. We had a workshop in chanting the holy names with absorption, and in the evening we listened to Krishna's amazing pastimes, his personalities, and so on. And today is my last day with all of you. Tomorrow I will jump into an iron bird or an airplane and go to New York, if Krishna willing, and then I have a whole week of seminars at one farm, and so on. The train will roll on until I finally arrive in Los Angeles, and after staying a little bit in that area, I will fly back to Germany, but then be the next day already in Italy. Italy, the Balkans. I will see the pyramids near Sarajevo. Yes, they found pyramids there. And we speak in all these places about the message of Krishna consciousness. What a blessed life, no? What a blessed life. You know, this life came to me. Yes, I looked for a genuine spiritual life, but I have not created this. Krishna has somehow put this life before me, and I just had to say one word, yes. And then it is like this. I believe deeply that through prayer, and we will talk a little bit about this in this class at the end. All these things which you don't know in certitude, you don't know, they will come to you, being brought to you by Krishna. How much can we on our own really create the reality we wish? We are not able to do so. We can pray to Krishna and receive his gifts with open arms. Good. So let me sing a little bit. Maybe Damodar, do we have guests who are the first time here? If so, please raise your hands. One. So we might supply you with the text on your mobile telephone. Maybe Govinda, you know mobile telephone very well. You can, there's a guest just next to you. You can, maybe, I don't know, songs of the Acharya. Oh, here it's coming already. One Mataji is supplying. Good. We will give the microphone to Lord Krishna. Please sing.
Premanande Hari.
Hare Krishna, I would like to give you a little insight into the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita because it contains such relevant and relatable messages for all of us that it is extremely beneficial to hear it. Let me first start to give you a little background. And then you will understand the huge benefits of following, first of all, understanding Krishna's words and then following them. But let us first chant our pranam mantras. I think most of you know. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Vestale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskajare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All the Vedic scriptures come with a book called Mahatmya, where the glories, or let us say the specific qualities of the scripture, are praised. So for the Bhagavad Gita there is a work called Gita Mahatmya, and there is a description of what happens when you hear the 15th chapter, as you will do very soon. As it comes, it's said that in ancient times there was one king called Narasimha. He had a minister who was very much greedy for his position. In fact, this minister, by clever misinformation, could pull the only son of Narasimha to his side, and together the two, minister and crown prince, planned to assassinate the king. Now they had a perfect plan. The king would leave early in the morning for a special pilgrimage, the back door of the palace, and only his son knew. So he informed the minister, and together with a trained assassin, they waited at the back door. When Narasimha, the king in simple attire, came, the prince was there and the assassin, but not the minister, who was carried the knife which had a poisoned tip, the instrument of murder. They waited and waited. Where is he? Where is he? The king is coming closer. But he didn't come. Finally, Narasimha passed these two and said, good morning, and went by. They didn't have the instrument. Later, they looked for the minister, but they found him dead in his bed. He had contracted cholera in the night, and he had died. What had not died was the murderous intention. The soul of the minister left the body that morning. He was reborn as a very fast horse in the province of Sindh. Those of you who are horse lovers know that the horses from Sindh are the most powerful racing horses, even superior to their brothers and sisters in Arabia. So the minister was reborn as a horse in the Sindhu province. And by nature's or the laws of karma, he was purchased by the stablemen of Narasimha and became the horse of Narasimha. So one day, this is now the deciding day for our narration. Narasimha was out on a hunting expedition. Kings would do that to train their skills with weapons. Somehow he became separate from the small hunting expedition, and he came to a lake, and he bent down from his horse, this white stallion. Stallion is a male horse, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. He came down and he sat down on the lake, and all of a sudden, this horse, who was no one else then, do you know everything? Then the minister from a previous life saw, this is my perfect chance. There's no one around. So he approached the king, who was peacefully sitting there with the murderous intention to rear and then use its frontal hooves to crack open the head of Narasimha as you would do with a coconut. So just the king saw the horse coming at him with that furious expression in the face. Just then, a wind rose and carried a palm leaf with half of a verse of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and waved it or blew it on the king's lap. And the king saw the horse coming, didn't know why the horse was so looking so different, and read half of the verse. Would you like to hear this verse?
Yes.
I would have sung it anyways. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Udva Mulam Ada Shakam, Ashakam Ashvatam Prahu Avyayam. That's half of the verse, and it's good for us because the other half might not come out. So he read this Sanskrit verse, and the horse heard it. And when the horse heard half of this verse, it became touched in the heart. It fell over, it died. It came, and on the scene came a Vimana, a transcendental airplane, and brought the soul of the minister who had been so dark and sinister and evil. It brought the soul which was washed from this inner darkness. Just by hearing this half of the verse, it brought the soul of the minister back home, back to Godhead.
Wow!
When Narasimha, the king, saw what had happened with the horse, you know, first it came at him and then it fell over, and then out of its body came a luminous spark and entered into a divine airplane which disappeared into another dimension. When the king saw this, he thought, my God, this is a very powerful chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And he decided to leave his kingly duties to others and go to an ashram, and every day he read at the entire 15th chapter and went back home, back to Godhead. It's a pretty powerful chapter, isn't it? So you will hear today a little from this, and I can guarantee you, I think at the end of the recital, there will be a little bit more, maybe 70 members here, a little bit more than 70 divine aircrafts will be waiting for you, and you will go in your spiritual bodies in the kingdom of God. Either it will happen directly after the lecture, or a little time delayed, you know. But the result is very clear. Maybe for Ghanasyam Priya, it will happen directly after the lecture. Let us witness. Let us see. It is said some of these results are coming immediately. For others, they come after some time. But one thing is sure, these results come. So I thought to give you a little preview what this chapter is all about, and then I will read the remaining half of the verse. And the translation and everything. Yes, you will. Krishna gives to Arjuna in the 15th chapter his most secret teachings. Guyatamam Shastram, he says. His secret teachings are that this world is not really what it appears to be. It's only a reflection from the spiritual world. And he gives a very graphic example. He says to Arjuna, look at a tree which stands at the bank of a reservoir of water. It could be a river or lake, and that gets reflected within the water. Now, when you look onto the reflection, it looks like a reality, but really it's only a reflection. It's something like a shadow. You can enjoy the mango in the tree, but in the reflection, the same mango has only water taste and no mango taste. It's not the real thing. So yes, you can enjoy some sort of idea of pleasures in the world, but you cannot really enjoy and hold a lasting pleasure here. He says this, he compares this reflected world with an ashwata tree. A means not, and swata means tomorrow. So this world doesn't exist tomorrow or in the future. We will all die, and then we won't have access to our refrigerator any longer. It's not existing in the future. And not even our muscle car, our American muscle car, it cannot be attained. So, Ashvata, what is the basis of this world and our residence in this world? It is actually desire or karma. Desire, because we want to enjoy a life separate from Krishna. Krishna gives us a reflection of his world, the spiritual world, here in the material world. And we are, so to say, on this tree of the universal tree, and we are wandering life after life from branch to branch in a futile attempt to enjoy it. Then Krishna will give the process of extrication, how we can liberate ourselves from this world. He says, cut down the tree with one particular weapon. How can you cut down your material life? What is the weapon? Detachment. Oh, that's a word which sounds, from you have a very smiling face, it sounds quite pleasant. But if we translate that in our world, in Alachua, oh, detachment, oh, not for me, Baba. We feel like this. So you will learn in the following verses how detachment helps you really. It's your friend, if you so want. So anyways, I will start now. So the Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, is teaching us to think differently of the world. Most people think the world is like their home, but the Bhagavad Gita says, no, it's a hotel room. You for some time here, and then you move on, like in a hotel room. So you better use your time wisely, and so on. The world teaches you pursue your dreams. But the Bhagavad Gita will teach you better than pursuing your dreams is to discover the reality of the spiritual world. It's a different perspective. The world will teach you aim high, make a difference. The Bhagavad Gita will say to you, yes, aim the highest, that is the spiritual world, and make a difference is act differently from the ordinary people. The material world teaches you, make the reality of the world match with your dreams. But the Bhagavad Gita will teach you, if you discover the reality of the spiritual world, it will exude all your boldest dreams. It's so much better. In this way, the 15th chapter aims at changing our perspective from just limiting ourselves to this world, and it opens our perspective. There's a spiritual world, and you can discover it and settle in there, even now, here, as you are there. You may have seen some devotees, they seem to have one foot already in the spiritual world. I think those of us who were around when Srila Prabhupada was wandering the world could see he really was different. Yes, he also ate. Yes, he also slept. But there was a whole world, something different. He would sometimes, for instance, just stop everything. He would sit like this And you would see tears coming out of his eyes. These were not tears of frustration or because he couldn't get a muscle car or something. No, he was actually associating with Krishna in the spiritual world. And he said so at times. Yeah. So, the Bhagavad Gita, however, teaches you to leave the illusion in a very special way. See, the materialist, he looks at the world trying to enjoy. When he comes to Florida, he will think, okay, where are the springs? Where can I lend a good muscle car? Today I was driving in a muscle car, so therefore the muscle car is very much in my mind. The materialist will think, okay, where are the hot spots of enjoyment in Gainesville and so on? The materialist will most probably not come out to Alachua and visit the Sunday program. He has other things. I don't know what is there to hear. He will look at the world with the eyes to enjoy. The new spiritualist, and it's the Mayavadi and also the new Hare Krishna devotee, they will look away from the world. They have found out that, oh my God, I don't want to become a slave of the paying the installments for the muscle car. You know, I'm sorry, the muscle car is somehow made it into my mind today. It will be out tomorrow. So the new spiritualist will look away from this world. Oh, if the new spiritualist is a woman, it will say, these men are totally illusion for me. And, you know, the new spiritualist will try to escape and run away, maybe go to a very peaceful place in the country. Mm? Or he will go to Puerto Rico. There are some nice caves, I heard. The Bhakti Yoga Gi is different. He follows a path of moderate or enlightened renunciation. He will engage with the world in the spirit, it's called in Sanskrit yukta vairagya, and see, let me use whatever I find in this world in the service of Krishna. And in this way, he will not, let us say, become entangled in the world. He will not have a need to disentangle from the world like the new spiritualist, but he looks beyond the world to Krishna and sees, how can I use this for Krishna? He may even drive, I'm sorry, I'm boring you, a muscle car, but he will drive with a muscle car with a roaring engine and a sound that sounds like a trumpet to the temple. Yukta Vairagya. He will use this world in the service of Krishna. For such a devotee, the world looks different. In the scriptures, the world is variously described as a miserable place of suffering. Dukalayam ashashvatam. In this perspective, we keep in mind that there's birth, old age, disease, and finally, oh, you know this, yes, death. No? So it's everything is only short-lived, and with death, which is the only certain thing in the world, everything is eclipsed. But this, with those who are in bhakti, this world is described as a place where you see happiness everywhere. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Have you heard this? For materialists, this world is miserable. And he will talk about, oh, COVID is so terrible. Oh, the war is so terrible in Ukraine. And he will really be affected by the tremendous amount of negativity. No? But for those in bhakti who look beyond the world at Krishna, they see everywhere happiness coming at them. The Shastras describe the world that it gives suffering, but the spiritualist will see this world gives the greatest benefit. Do you know what the world for a spiritualist gives? First, it gives learning experiences. This is Patanjali's perspective. We are here in the world and we make what? Experiences, someone said, yes. How nice you're listening. We make experiences and we can learn from them. All kinds of experiences, so-called good, so-called bad experiences, they lose their adjectives because experiences are always good. They bring us further, they help us to grow. For a spiritualist, the world provides a unique opportunity that is liberation from the cycle of birth and death. It's called moksha. But when you want to pursue the spiritual path in this world, you must first of all develop some sense of detachment, really, and not take part in the dogma, in the race. You must get out of the hamster wheel. I have a friend in London, his name is Sutapa Prabhu. He will obtain the sacred order of sannyas in June or July. June already, yes. And he once told me a story from the greyhound races. In England, they love these dog races. They have these dogs who are very thin, but they can run very swiftly. Oh, so fast. So they are brought in boxes in the stadium, and then they put a plastic Kaninchen. What is a Kaninchen in English? Rabbit, yes, a plastic rabbit. They have it on a track, you know, and it says then 1, 2, 3 or some signal, and then the person shoots a bullet. Then the boxes are open and all the dogs start racing, and this plastic rabbit on the track, you know, it races also very swiftly. It is steered by some mechanical control. Bzzz, the dogs run. Sometimes a dog dies of heart failure because he runs so fast, or he may have drunken a Coca-Cola, which is not good for a dog before the race, you know. And but they run as if life depends on them to get this imitation rabbit. Now, once Sutapa saw, this was before he came to Krishna consciousness, he was a university student. And which proper Englishman will not go to a greyhound race? So he saw that one intelligent dog, somehow it came very near to the plastic rabbit, and it understood, oops, it's not a real rabbit, it's an imitation of a rabbit only. So he lost all his interest at the moment when he saw through the veil of illusion. Why should I run myself to death until I die of heart failure here? And he he just let go of the race, and he marched very proudly with his newfound discovery, just like a British gentleman, on this edge of the field. No interest, let those who are in illusion be. This is necessary. You need to discover, first of all, the falsity of the reflection of this world, and remove yourself from it. Therefore, in our movement, we start, we have an initiation process, and during the initiation, we make actually four vows that are meant to create a distance to the illusory life of chasing pleasures in the world. It has to do with, the four rules and regulations. You all know them, and I don't want to say them, otherwise I might be criticized on the internet. I'm joking, of course, no one will criticize them. So this is very important. If you want to start with the bhakti, you have to do some renunciation. Krishna talks about this I want to read this to you. Yes, he says, Ashvatam enam suviruda mulam asanga shastrena didhena chitva. He says, no one can see where this universe or the tree began and where it ends. It's expensive, it's so vast, it's so deceiving. However, with determination, the word here is dritena. One must cut down the strongly rooted tree of illusion with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having once gone there, one never returns. And there, one should surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Briefly said, in Bhakti Yoga, we practice Krishna consciousness, and although we don't practice only renunciation of this world, we practice Yukta Vairagya, it's important in order to come to this level of dedication of this world that you first practice a little detachment and so on. Now, my dear devotees, and I will end here, there is a question. What is the complete process of this bhakti yoga process that helps me, a person of this world, to go to the eternal spiritual world? What's the exact process, please? I want to go, I don't want to stop at Brahman, I want to go to Krishna's world. What should I do? Damodarati will now, in his great technical skill, put us a verse. It's text 5, and I would like to sing the verse with you. It's this Nirmama Moha Tita Sangha Dosha. It is soon going to come. Yes, here's the first line. Yes, Prabhu, you are a technical genius. I would request you all now to sing with me this verse, because it has the complete process of bhakti yoga. It will be your travel guide. Huh? You can make a copy of it on your mobile telephone, and then you are good. Nirmanamo. That's better we do it all together. Nirmanamo Adhita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Nivritta Kama Vanyai Mukta Sukha Dukha Samyai Gacchantya Mula Padama. This sounds like a Sanskrit school. So yours very good. So let's do it, please, again, and this time maybe a little slower. And let us relish the vibration. Yeah. Nirmanamo Adhita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Nivritta Kama Dvanyai Mukta Sukha Dukha Samyai Gacchantya Mula Paramabhyayamta. Nice, no? I must congratulate you that sounded, let me find the American word, amazing. I'm learning your language. It's my private hobby. I'm observing you. Amazing. I could also say it differently. Yeah, that sounded awesome.
Yes.
In New York, I would say it a little different. I would say that sounded sick. Yeah. But that is actually how I say it in the harbor province of London. New York, well, yeah, I could also, but this is not a language school, an American English. Yeah, so, no, let me say it in the way I have learned to say it. Very, very nice. You have done Shastric studies, and it's very spiritually enlivening to listen to you. Good. Those who are free from false prestige, so we have to become free from false ego, illusion, we had that, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the duality of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. It is all about leaving the illusion behind and learning to surrender to Krishna. I heard of an experiment which was done in a prison with people who were judged to die. Is it judged, or how do we say this?
Sentenced,
yeah, with the death penalty. So they were all assembled in one room, and then they were put before a choice. One choice was, they brought in various objects of sense enjoyments. I will not say what it was. They were saying, if you don't enjoy this, we will hand you a key that opens the prison house, and you can further be supplied with a beautiful family house. So these were very, let us say it, tempting objects of enjoyment, which they had for 1 week. They could have these objects of enjoyment. However, they had also the, and then they would be killed, but they had also the possibility to refrain from them, and then they would get a key out of the prison and a second key, I forgot this, for a family home in somewhere in the countryside, you know. Yes, I know, it's surprising. So it was seen that this promise they were able to give up the instant gratification. It was really very, very much to the taste of the prisoners, which they were given. They were able to renounce this instant sense gratification because they received a key to the another world. Now, in bhakti, it is something like this. We renounce some of the pleasures of the world that entangle us. It may be for a newcomer to bhakti and also someone who is not spiritually alive yet, a little difficult to renounce these pleasures. But if he renounces and adds the process of bhakti, my dear devotees, he will attain the eternal kingdom. He will get the key to the eternal world. This key really is the process of surrender to Krishna. I would like to give you a little insight that makes surrender simple for you. See, no one of us likes to give up his or her plans for enjoyment. And when we hear you have to surrender this and give our life to Krishna, we feel slightly uncomfortable. But think of surrender in a more positive way. Think of surrender that in a way that you don't have to figure everything out about your life. You don't have to plan everything. You can't actually plan the next 10 years solidly. It is not within anyone's ability. It's not within the ability of the jiva to cross over Maya, for instance. However, my dear devotees, if you surrender to Krishna in the way in which you can do at the present time, then Krishna takes charge of your life. The process of surrender, you know better than me, starts with accepting those things that are favorable for Krishna. Like I think some of you have purposefully moved to Alachua because you felt in the association of devotees, I can pursue my Krishna consciousness more naturally. I don't have to really strain so much. This was a step in the right direction, a step of surrender. You accepted what was favorable for you, your friends, even your family members. Some of you brought a whole family with you. And then comes the second step. It's a little bit more tenacious. It's to give up what is unfavorable. I know, like in all of the communities of the world, there are sometimes possibilities where you can create some karma in Alachua, let's say like this, you know, you can do some material activities also here. But if you can, please give up what is unfavorable, that is very, very good. It's easy to give up what is unfavorable when you have the right association. In superior association, it is much easier to say no to those things which do not bring you further on the path of bhakti. Only when you switch off, let us say, the good light of association in that darkness, it is it becomes difficult to resist the temptation to our mind and senses. The next step is to actually accept Krishna as your protector. Bhakti is a very high process. It can be compared with tiger milk. I said this already twice today to devotees. Tiger milk, or better, tigress milk, is an interesting milk. You can't buy it on the market, by the way, and not even in Walmart, where you get everything. Tigress milk, try. I would be very surprised if you can get it. Because there are only two containers which hold the tigress milk. Did you know this? Not a clay pot. Plastic? No, forget it. Silver? No, it will crack, even silver. Gold is the only pot which can hold tiger's milk and the soft stomach of a baby tiger. Soft stomach of the baby tiger can hold the tiger milk. So bhakti is a very powerful thing. You heard about the half of the verse of the 15th chapter, no? Very powerful. It can be held only in a pure heart. But our heart is not very pure. Maybe Ganesyam is pure, but not me. You know? So, however, so the golden pure heart is not available with many of us. Of some of us, yes, but not many. But we can be like the tiger baby, fully surrendered to the mother. Helpless, but nevertheless, feeling Krishna is my protector. Just like the tiger baby doesn't have to figure anything out. The tiger mother will bite in the neck, no problem. It's just in the neck skin, and it will carry the tiger baby from here to there. The tiger baby is very comfortable. Mother knows where we will go next. Yes, it's a very comfortable here. The tiger mama will go, ah, that's all right, it's for the lion, you know, it's not for me to worry. You know, the lion was on the way, but my mother chased him away. Very good. So I feel very comfortable here. It does not know where they are going, but it knows it will be good because my mother is there. So in the same way, in bhakti, the third limb of surrender is you feel Krishna will protect me, and the fourth is Krishna is my guardian. You know, like a parent who watches over the child, Krishna is my guardian. And finally, the last things as you surrender, you can surrender with your soul to Krishna and remain humble. That's how you practice the six limbs of Sharanagati. This is how you get in the spiritual world. I will end with a little story, because surrender is sometimes for us who have built up our independence, you know, so much. American slogan, my way or the highway. Do you know that? Maybe not you, I heard. We heard in school in Germany that all Americans believe in this slogan. I don't think so. I think it's German propaganda, but because here I've seen so many nice devotees and so many nice people on the road. I wanted to say, I want to praise the process of surrender. Once there was a great devotee. He was going with his disciples to another town. They had a lecture there. And as they were walking through the forest, all of a sudden they had heard a noise in the underbrush. Is it called underbrush? Or yeah, we can say like this. And a hunter broke out of the whatever it is, the underworld, you know, the underbushes, He was very black. He had a tiger skin. He smelled like all the dirty smells in the world. And he met the devotees, and he looked at the devotees with an absent-minded glance, and he could not really say anything. So one devotee went, "Speak, you have maybe experienced something, speak." And they gave him some water. And he said, "Listen, you saintly people, I have just seen something. I was in the forest. I saw a very fat rabbit. And I was putting my arrow. It was very close, only 3 meters. I couldn't miss. I was drawing the string. I was aiming it, and I knew this evening we would have a wonderful, tasty meal." Then the rabbit all of a sudden became aware of me. It ran towards me, and it put its head on my feet in a gesture of absolute surrender. I was aiming at the rabbit who had surrendered to me. And for a moment I was struggling, should I shoot or should I not? And then I just couldn't do it. I just released the arrow in the sky, and it occurred to me I had hunted down all these innocent creatures. I don't know if I could. Now, I don't know now any longer. Should I pursue my family profession of hunting or not? Because I saw the rabbit so innocently surrendering to me. When this great devotee and acharya heard the hunter's story, he exclaimed, "Oh Krishna!" and fell on the ground, senseless. His disciples took some water and sprinkled it, and the great devotee came out of his fainting condition and again said, "Oh Krishna!" and fainted another time. 3 times he fainted. Then the disciples asked, "Guru Maharaj, what is moving your heart so strongly?" And then he said, "Krishna tells us to surrender, but we hesitate. Look, surrender is so natural. The rabbit, without reading the text of the Bhagavad Gita, surrendered when he understood, I have no other choice." And the hunter, who is not like Krishna, who takes on a surrendered soul, felt compelled against its hunter nature to provide shelter to the rabbit and spare its life and protect it. Why am I still hesitating? I know the Bhagavad Gita. I know death is knocking at my door. I know this world cannot give me pleasure. It is like this reflected tree, or like the plastic rabbit, if you like modern things, you know. It does not, why? It is so inbuilt in me. Why do I not surrender more? The Bhagavad Gita continues from 6th verse on to describe what is happening with the unsurrendered souls. You know better than me, but I just provide you some context here. It says, 6th verse, it talks about reincarnation in the next session. He says, Krishna says, the supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity, but it is illuminous. those who reach it never return to this material world. But those who stay in the world, due to conditioned life, they will be struggling very hard with the fifth, the six senses, which include the mind. And then he says, the struggle continues lifetime after lifetime. The living entity in the material world carries his different concepts of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body again and quits it to take another. It's supremely interesting, this 15th chapter, and very powerful. Even half a verse is very good. So I recommend to you, please take with you a learning point. How can you maybe today during the Sunday feast become free from illusion? Maybe you can share some good prasadam with someone else, or you can serve the prasadam, or you can engage instead of talking about football games. I don't know, in America we have rugby, I think. Rugby, or what do we have? American football. American football. What else do we have? Many things to prajalpa around. Talk about Krishna conscious subjects, maybe. To do something which is more favorable. Try to experiment with these six limbs of surrender, and you will see that your path to the spirit world gets illumined. Good, I will end here. We have a little time for maybe one question, and then we will rest the Bhagavad Gita for another night, and then tomorrow we will continue with the Gita on the airplane. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. We have a microphone for you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for class. I was wondering if we can finish the verse, the second half.
The second half. Yeah, yes. So we go back. Our Damodarati first verse. Yeah, no, it is there. You have it. Wait a minute. Yes. It was Urdvam Mulam Adasakam. Yes. So it starts with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Would you like to chant it?
Yes.
Good. Let's do it. Damarati may be a little lower because there is one. No, it's not in this. No, there it is. There it is. I see it. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Udva mulam madasakam ashvatam pravavyayam chandansi asya panani yastam vedasa vedave. The other was nicer somehow. I think it's just me a little bit too low here. To go a little, yes, now we have the right key. Go Krishna. See, let's see. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Udva Mulam Madasakam Ashvatam Prahuavyayam Chandamsi Asya Panani Yastam Veda Veda Veda. Perfect, very good. So this is the first, the complete first verse. It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its root upward, you know, it's a reflection, and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree, remember the person who who understood this is an illusion in the analogy, one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Yes. And then it describes how we are entangled in the branches of the tree and how we can get out. This is in the fifth text, where we learn the process of surrender, really, to Krishna. And I wanted to say, surrender is beautiful because, yeah, you become like the tiger baby, no? You can actually drink and digest the powerful essence of Krishna consciousness. Good, so we will end here. We have to clear the room because at 6:30 we understand the next program takes place. It's a kirtan. You are of course welcome to stay, but I think we will serve you a really excellent Sunday feast. I hear today the preparations are outstanding, so you might, I think you know. And if you don't know, follow the stream. It's like an ant line which will develop now. A migration. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Haribo.